a very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane, and as always, it's a pleasure to have your company on a Friday evening. What have we got? How about a bit of Keith Nichols with the Cotton Club Orchestra? Don't think we've had Keith for a while. Maybe never. The White Cliffs of Dover, some wartime favourites with Isabel Buchanan and the English Chamber Orchestra. Nina Simone singing a bit of Ellington. But to get us going, why don't we all keep a twinkle in your eye?
Stepping mighty high wherever you go. 'Cause with a twinkle in your eye and a twinkle in your toe, nobody's going to pass you by without a hello. Just throw your head back and stick your chin out. Bring your best Sunday grin out. You'll know that you can win out soon, thanks to that twinkle in your eye and the twinkle in your toe. You'll find that life is just like pie wherever you go.
That's a good as way as any to get going, as they say. Complete with a little bit of crackle off the original transcription as well. Always like that. Gives it a feeling of authenticity in this age of AI and virtual reality. You feel it's something you can get hold of. In the nicest sense. How are we, in any case? Are we surviving the summer, such as it is? What are you making? I'm not quite too sure at the moment. I am a weather pessimist, I grant you. And I always think, oh, look, it's another... To be fair... There have been some nice days this year, and I think by common consensus, it's better summer than last year, but that wouldn't be difficult, because last summer wasn't, really, was it? Not in the Isle of Man, anyway. We had a little bit of nice weather at very beginning, around about May, as this seems to be often the case now, just before TT. Then after that, it was all Well, actually, TT was quite good, as I recall, wasn't it? And then after that, that was it, pretty much. This year, well, more of a mixed bag. We've certainly had some nice weather, and the mixed weather, a lot of mist and fog, or is that just my imagination? Seems to be far more mist and fog than I seem to recall when I was a nipper, as they say. But is that just rose-tinted spectacles? Who knows? Hope you've got a twinkle in your eye this evening. In any case, Jack Harris was the band. Yeah, not one of the best-known bands in the world. He arrived in London in the late 20s and made some very stylish recordings for the time. And by 1939, he was leading a band at the London Palladium. Not just any old band, the Melody Maker of the time. Same Melody Maker as today, I think it's still going, isn't it? Described the band as the finest in England. Not bad criticism from the local music rack. But when war broke out, he didn't hang around. Well, I couldn't say I blame him, to be honest with you. He returned back to the United States, and that was it. Never came back to Britain at all. It's not difficult to see why in many ways, wouldn't it? I mean, it was a terrible time. He was going back to his homeland, a much easier place to live and probably settle back there, and never thought about it again. Taking the vocals, Sam Costa, who was, of course, born on this side of the pond and possessor of a wonderful moustache, if you've ever seen a picture of him. It has a sort of Groucho Marx moustache on steroids, if you know what I mean. Take a look online and you'll pick up a picture of Sam Costa. Always look quite a smiley chap. And yes, this wonderful tash, very popular, of course, through the dance band era. Also, if you remember, a little bit later on, but we're still going back a fair while, so, yeah, we're not talking teenagers need not apply. He was also a comic actor, and if you remember, Much Binding in the Marsh, he was in it, of course, Sam Costa, and then went on after that, in a wonderful career, to be a disc jockey for both Radio Luxembourg and, of course, then onto the BBC on Radio 2, if I'm not mistaken. And born in Stoke Newington and started out as a pianist with a man who's often appeared on Sweet and Swing, Bert Furman and his band in the 1920s, I think that would have been, maybe into the 30s as well. And then worked with Jack Jackson, worked with Lou Stone, Harry Leader, Morris Winnick, Jay Wilbur, all sorts of swing and big band greats. But I do like his tash. I've tried growing a moustache, but I've given up now. Just doesn't work. Doesn't work. I look like, well, I don't look like Sam Costa, certainly. I don't know what I look like, but it's not a good look. And the Memsarp doesn't like it either, so there we go. This one I found, actually, I rescued quite recently. I mean, Music Man Towers has now passed on to a new owner, and yes, obviously, it took a long time to clear an awful lot of stuff out and find new homes for it, or give it away, or sell it, or whatever the case may be, as you have to do when that time in life comes around. And I've saved as many as I could of them. Great music discs that the old maestro had. I couldn't keep them all. There were just too many. It's impossible. So they're scattered to the seven winds these days, apart from the collection I've kept here. But this one was the last minute save. It was in a box which was going to go out. And I thought, oh no, there's a couple more goodies here we could feature on Sweet and Swing with Benny Goodman. I might have doubled up. Who knows? Because it's a collection, including the fantastic Carnegie Hall concert in January of 1938. And I thought we might hear a little bit from that one. Why not, as they say? What about Stomping at the Savoy?
life was a thrill for me. The world stood still for me. When I held you that night in the light of a honey-colored moon, that one sweet hour of love bloomed like a flower of love. And your eyes held a bright golden light of a honey-colored moon. A pathway on the sea, shining there for me, seemed to be a road that I knew. A road that led to love, that the moon above had made for me and you. And I knew life had begun at last. We two were one at last. When I held you that night in the light of a honey-colored moon.
Don't know whether we've had many honey-coloured moons of late. We keep getting strawberry moons and evening moons. And, well, there's another moon we had recently I hadn't heard of. There are all sorts of named moons. Strawberry is the only one that jumps to mind. Harvest moon, I suppose. Blue moon, of course. There's another moon we've had which someone said, oh, it's a so-and-so moon this evening to me recently. And I thought, oh, is it? And it did look a bit different, but I can't remember the name. There we go. Always lovely looking at the moon in any case. Wherever it is, whether it's strawberry coloured or just crescent or full, or it has a magical feel sort of looking up at the moon, doesn't it? Hildegard is singing there, Honey Coloured Moon, of course. And Hildegard, well, that was all she went under, realistically. It was just Honey Coloured Moon. She just went under the name of Hildegard, I should say, singing Honey Coloured Moon. Hildegard Loretta Sell was her full name. Cabaret, vaudeville, singer, and American, as you might have picked up from the voice a little bit there as well. Sang and played the piano and appeared in Britain with great success in the early 30s, 33 to 36 or thereabouts. And, of course, recorded, as we heard just there, with the great Henry Hall and the BBC Dance Orchestra. Nice number. Before that, one of the immortal concerts of Benny Goodman, the Carnegie Hall concert, recorded in January of 1938. And we had Stompin' at the Savoy with, of course, Lionel Hampton on the vibes. Also grunting along. He was one of the early grunters. As it goes. Fats Waller liked to do it. Art Tatum did. In more recent times, the great pianist Keith Jarrett was a wonderful groaner and grunter. You either love it or you hate it or you accept it, I guess. It's never put me off, but I know some people think it's a real distraction, but I think they just get so carried away that for them it's just part of their music making. They probably don't even hear it themselves, I dare say. But anyway, you could hear him there one way or another as he played the vibe. Stomping at the Savoy, Lionel Hampton on vibes, Benny, of course, on clarinet, Harry James, Siggy Elman, Chris Griffin, Jaime Scherzer, George Koenig, Babe Roussin, Art Rollini, and of course Gene Krupa at the drums. Quite heavy on the drums there, isn't he? Quite a loud sort of sound on that big bass drum. I think was it Gene or Louis at the double bass drum setup? I think it might have been Louis Belson, was it? Jess Stacey, wonderful Jess Stacey, very subtle pianist at the piano. Where are we going to head from there? Oh, very good question. I'm not 100% certain, but we'll think of something tasty one way or another. What about Keith Nichols? I mentioned him at the top of the hour. A great friend of the old maestro. He appeared here several times, a specialist in ragtime piano and early piano styles. A wonderful pianist, and he would do various shows, solo shows and doing ragtime shows, and also appearing with Dick Wellstead, I think, and Dick Hyman as well, doing sort of the history of jazz piano type shows. Here he is anyway with the Cotton Club Orchestra on an album called Henderson Stomp. Keith Nichols and the Cotton Club Orchestra played the music of Fletcher Henderson between the mid-20s and the early 30s. And they're pretty good at it too. Great ending on that note. Not coming back to the subtonic again. Leaving it suspended in midair, it seems. The meanest kind of blues. It did seem to have a mean ending, didn't it? Keith Nichols and the Cotton Club Orchestra. Great name for a track as well, isn't it? The meanest kind of blues with, the Cotton Club Orchestra. I'll give them a quick name check, why not? Bent Person on trumpet, Mike Henry trumpet, Guy Barker on some trumpets. Still going great, guns. Used to be one of the Young Turks, Guy Barker, or Rolf Kosherek on a trumpet on some tracks as well. Klaus Jacobi on sax and clarinet, Nick Payton also, Michael Bard on tenor sax and clarinet, Rennie Hagman trombone, Alistair Allen trombone, Keith himself on piano, and he also sings on some tracks, and leader of the band, Martin Wheatley on banjo, featured there to the fore. Graham Reed, you could also hear, playing along the bass line on the sousaphone, the B-flat sousaphone, and Richard Pite at the drums. They were a great band, and Keith was a great character, and I did actually, one of the few we feature, who I did actually know a little bit through the old maestro, and that he came, as I say, to the Isle of Man numerous times, and I'm fairly certain stayed with us at Music Man Towers, or Music Man Towers Mark One, down in Ballacombeen Avenue, back in the day, when he'd come over here and we'd put him up, so I'd see him for supper, or even breakfast, I don't know. Here's something I hope never happens to me, or you, or any of us. Growing too old to dream. Isabel Buchanan and the English Chamber Orchestra. I bet that brought back a few memories for some people listening. So nostalgic, some of those tracks, don't they? From a collection of wartime favourites, just called The White Cliffs of Dover. Not surprisingly, Chris Williams would like the cover. It's got a Spitfire diving down over the White Cliffs of Dover on the front. Isabel Buchanan singing there with the English Chamber Orchestra and a whole load of classics from that period. Starting off with Calling All Workers, There'll Always Be in England, We'll Meet Again, of course, The White Cliffs of Dover, The Dam Busters, Knightsbridge March, you name it. Every time we say goodbye, we're not saying goodbye just yet. You get the gist of it in any case. So nostalgic. We'll dip into that one again at some stage. In the meantime, we'll do a little bit of bouncing with Errol. Thank you. Lovely stuff. Two pianos for the price of one. First off, Errol Garner, wonderful pianist. Again, been a great favourite. Certainly the old maestro, and I've always enjoyed his playing as well. That's a fantastic stride style. With one of my favourite tracks of his own composition, Errol's Bounce. And it sounds so easy. If you try playing that, you'll need to be a good pianist, is all I can say. And have fairly big hands, because you've got that wonderful stride. You're playing sort of chords in the right, and you've got this stride style bouncing up and down the keyboards, playing big open-handed chords on the left, and then doing these octave runs on the right. Not easy at all. Sounds easy, but if you don't believe me, get the music or a transcription. Try playing it. If you're grade 8 plus, you might get around it. If you're grade 3 or 4, you could be struggling. But good luck in any case. And if you manage to get it off, record it and send it in to me. Well, give it a play. Why not? I'd be impressed. I've never managed anywhere near it. But great track in any case. Errol's Bounce. And then we are segued straight into some of the pianos of Cuba. Everardo Odeth and Armando Arafish. And it's worth reading out some of the liner notes from this album. I can't remember. I think the more I look at it, I might have even bought this for the old maestro myself. I went to Cuba on holiday quite a few years ago now. And by quite a few, I'm thinking somewhere between 18 and 20, I would think, years ago or something like that. Had a wonderful time, fascinating country. I wouldn't mind going back again at some stage. And I might have bought this for him because I think it comes from Cuba. It's mostly in Spanish, and then there is an English translation, which clearly has been written by someone who does speak some English, but it's not their first language, and they're not a professional translator. So we have wonderfully clunky and curious-sounding phrases. Thus, if I give you a little quote, pianos from Cuba. Under the influence of this suggestive title, the names of outstanding Cuban pianists come to our mind, pianists who became famous in the country and overseas because of their virtuosity in different musical genres. We go on to read that this release offers you the opportunity to save and remember the music done with the most modern techniques, recorded by two Cuban pianists who were largely accepted on every stage they played, especially in the 1960s. Here you have the recordings of instrumental music performed by Everardo Odeth and Armando Arafish. Upon a small rhythm section, formed just by a contrabass and minor percussion, always subjected to the piano play and only as an element of great value to emphasise the different rhythms included here, both pianists offer the tunes of compositions that are more or less known up to now. It's terrific stuff. Oh dear. I shouldn't mock. I can't speak any Spanish at all. But yes, perhaps they might have spent a couple more quid and got someone who had a slightly better understanding of a translation into English. Yeah, what do I know though?
That rainbow in the sky. sunny day.
Geraldo and his orchestra. And you can give yourself a pat on the back and two gold stars if you guessed the vocalist there. It was Len Camber, who sang with Geraldo from the war periods onwards, and along with Lou Stone's blind singer Peter Gray. His voice, I think we've mentioned this before, was considered temporarily unsuitable for broadcasting during wartime itself. Now, you've just heard the man. Did you distinguish anything in that voice which might have made it unsuitable for broadcast during wartime? I don't even know quite what is a voice. I mean, short of spouting German propaganda, I am not 100% certain what would have been unsuitable. The ban was later rescinded after a public outcry. Well, I'm glad they had good sense back then to say this is utter nonsense, it has to be said. Went on to tour in a double act with Terry Devon. It's a wonderful concept, isn't it? No, sorry, your voice isn't right for war. We can't broadcast that. You sound far too musical. Lord knows. It's a strange thing, human nature at times. Let's have one of our jazz trumpeters. We've been going through, we're almost at the end of the list, I think. We are up to Max Kaminski, who sort of played in that sort of earlier sort of style. And from the 1930s was mad keen. We're going to hear him in the mid-50s here. He carried on playing for another 30 years after that. Here he is anyway, back in the 60s. Thank you. said that was from the mid-60s, 50s it was, in fact, 10 years earlier. Nonetheless, playing in a style which, well, as you can hear from that, was actually predated that by 20 or 30 years or more. It was more of a 20s style of jazz, a sort of a New Orleans style or a more trad style, which was what he basically favoured playing. And that some players move with the times and others play rather like Keith Nichols, we heard earlier on. Keith could definitely play all sorts of piano if he wanted to, but what he basically played throughout his entire career was the ragtime sort of, and that style of jazz, the ragtime style, throughout in a sort of traditional style. Others perhaps start with one style, like if you think of Duke Ellington, started with one style and finished off in a very modernist style and made a huge transition over his long career. But I suppose it's personal preference with your music when you have the talent, which direction you want to go. It was true 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and still true today. For Max, that was the style. There he was in the 50s, and he was still playing in that style, in that way, in the 1980s, another 30 years later. And that's, who am I to say that's right or wrong? He could play very well, and that's the style he preferred. Someone like Miles Davis, again, started off in a very sort of early bebop and finished off in what a lot of jazz didn't like, playing sort of electric music and rock-influenced and rap-influenced and club-influenced music. Is very, very different indeed. But, yeah, it depends on what sort of musician you are at the end of the day. Nina Simone was a wonderful musician who did play in a, she, again, wonderful pianist. She's always remembered, really, for a couple of songs, I think, in so many ways. Quite a character, very spiky character, very strong beliefs. And, yeah, knew her mind, wasn't a woman to be messed with, I don't think, and why should she be? She had a superb talent, and once she was a star, I think, yeah, why should she kowtow to anyone? Various tales of her sort of turning up basically an hour late for gigs, just sitting down and playing as if nothing had happened, but, yeah, a wonderful pianist, great vocalist as well. This is from our friends at Avid. I only unwrapped it the other day. I thought, gosh, we haven't actually looked at this one yet. Nina Simone, three classic albums plus eight bonus singles. It's got Nina at the Village Gate. It's got Little Girl Blue. It's got Bonus Singles, which is the name of one of the albums. And, well, yeah, this is her singing Ellington. Nina Simone, simply it's titled, Nina Simone Sings Ellington. Didn't spend too much time thinking up that title, did they? What about this one? I Got It Bad? Oh, that ain't good.
And when the weekend's over, and Monday rolls around, because I've got it so bad.
Drenched there at the end. Nina Simone with the Ellington Webster tune or song, I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good. Got a great vocal for that. Nina herself on vocals and playing the piano as well. Wonderful pianist she really was. And you just hear some of her own. She did some instrumental tracks as well. We'll play one or two of those perhaps in the coming weeks. A terrific pianist. With the wonderful sounding Malcolm Dodds singers doing the backing vocals with obviously a studio orchestra, which we don't seem to have any details on. That I was just looking at the liner notes, which you normally get an awful lot with these Avid releases, but I'm not seeing if there are any details. I don't think I've got them there anywhere. Well, maybe we have. Here we go. It was inevitable. Nina would one day sing Duke Ellington, and that day, much awaited, much wanted, is happily here. Nina and Duke are as natural together as music itself, they say. Ellington's individualistic and timeless music complemented perfectly by one of the great stylists of her time. Her reign through the Ellington standards to the lesser known but nonetheless unique creations, nothing short of masterful. Still doesn't mention who the orchestra was. Studio orchestra, I suppose they would say. New York City, 1961. Great stuff. Just back from New York, by the way. Still a great place, I must admit. Went past Carnegie Hall. Didn't go in, wasn't invited to play. How'd you get to Carnegie Hall? The answer, of course, is practice. That's about it for another week here on Sweet and Swing. Look after yourselves. Jumping in next week with Brother Chris. Check it out if you haven't done before. If you don't like it, fear not. I'll be back the week after that. See you then. Cheerio.